Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to The Schmidt List, the podcast for people dedicated to managing successful projects, developing impactful products, and building engaged teams. And now, here's your host, Kurt Schmidt.
Jonathan, how are you today, sir?
I am doing so well. Really good to be here with you, Kurt, today. Getting to the end of another fun and fantastic week of, you know, distance learning,
yes.
You know, working in technology, working during a pandemic and all of those sorts of things. So
yeah,
it's nice to be able to round out the week with this conversation today.
Yeah, good. Well, I appreciate you being here. So you're over at Next. You're one of the co-founders. Can you tell me about Next and the work you do there?
Sure. Yeah. You know, the work at Next is really fun and inspiring. What we do is we help leaders defeat stagnation, drive revenue, and create our best world. And we do that using our kind of our disciplines in customer experience, technology, and human-centered design.
Awesome. Yeah, and you've got a great organization. And so I'm really glad that you're here today. I want to kick things off because, you know, obviously it's top of mind with a lot of people this year for a lot of reasons around making sure that we have a good focus on, you know, lifting up people of color and understanding better what people are struggling with in today's world. If you were to put your finger on a few things that are just, you know, besides the obvious, you know, is it financial resources? Is it opportunities? What are Black business owners and Black entrepreneurs struggling with more so these days than, is it any different because of COVID?
Good question. I think there's a lot to unpack there for sure. I think COVID maybe is the last thing you said, so we can start with that. You know, obviously, the statistics and the research here doesn't lie. Communities of color are being impacted by the COVID pandemic more so than others, and it's, you know, it's kind of slicing right across the disparities that were already in place, and they're being further emphasized with the pandemic. And, you know, that's coming down deep in what we see with school lunch programs and things of that nature needing to be bolstered even more than they were before. So mm-hmm. The way that we're seeing that impact today is a lot of service businesses, a lot of restaurant businesses, a lot of folks who are kind of like those frontline workers are often African-American, Black, or they're often people of color as well. So some of those, not only the jobs that folks are working in, the businesses that they run are often the businesses that are most impacted by this pandemic.
There's so much going on, you know, in the political climate, the economy that's affecting these things. One of the things, and I've done some research up until here, is that especially like, let's say in the startup world, investment only counts for 1% for Black startups and Black entrepreneurs. And it's even worse if it's a woman. And I see that there's so much opportunity there just in the financial support, right?
There is. And I think that these are kind of some things that are, I would just say that are, people can turn the dials on and they can change
yep.
the way that they approach financing pretty directly. That's something that can be changed.
Yeah.
I think that there is kind of a deeper level, but maybe more transformational that we have an opportunity to take advantage of right now, given the climate of things and given the obvious nature of a need for change. And that's a sense that we're not getting our best out of our economy. We're not getting the best out of our workers. We're not mm-hmm. getting the best out of our businesses because we are still dealing with very ingrained disparities in the way that our economy is formed and the way that people can perform within the economy. And I think that, yeah, when we're talking about turning the dial on, you know, let's focus on putting more investment into Black-owned businesses. Let's put more investment into women-owned businesses. That's a very, very great place to start. Okay. And I think that there's a lot of energy around getting to the underlying issues right now, too, that I think people are really interested in digging deep on and doing the work to make transformational change that will last us for the next generation and beyond that.
Right. Well, and again, it goes back to, you know, the idea of where to start. So for myself, for instance, wanting to help, wanting to figure out how I can transition my privilege into opportunities for other folks. And the hardest thing has been just trying to find the resources to discover where I should be putting that effort into. When you hear that, what's your first take?
Yeah, my first take is that's great. It sounds like you're on the journey when you're willing to do the research, the work, kind of like introspection, all those sorts of things, you know, kind of turn over the rocks and see what you find,
yes.
Which is great. That's a really good place to start. I think that the point is to keep moving,
yep.
too,
yep.
you know,
keep
the momentum going and realize that, like, we're joining history and we're creating history. Right. So we can't get to a certain point and say, I've learned something and now the story is done being written. Right. We're kind of packing our bags and getting ready to go off and continue building our business, continue building our economy. And we're actually, what we're doing is we're really impacting people's lives and we're changing the future for them by kind of unpacking all this, you know, knowledge, research, you know, working within our companies, developing our teams differently, creating more inclusive strategies and processes within our businesses. All those things are going to really impact the lives of people,
yeah.
in ways, yeah. that they have not been impacted before.
Well, and I mean, as I've shared with you in other conversations, I mean, I've hit some really interesting feedback and comments from folks, anywhere from not directly, but, you know, making it stated in a way that's like, you do you, we'll do us, you stay over there, just don't get in here because we don't need you messing up the things that we're doing. All the way to, as I've shared with you, is somebody saying, like, if I was just removed from the equation, that would create more opportunity. And so that's why it's been such an interesting journey. And I'm so glad that you've been a great mentor and guide through that. But I mean, as you're going through that journey, how do I know when I'm kind of in the right lane? How will I know? Is it by building up a bigger network of people that don't look like me to help guide me that way?
Well, we know that opportunity is often a dynamic of your network,
yep.
right? So I think it's very important that if you do have a network that has value and has opportunity to offer, that you make that available. I think some self-reflection is always helpful for all of us, and that helps us to be empathetic with others, which is obviously a key tenet of any type of human-centered design. And I think that what you can find here is, what are the things that you have available to you? What are your resources? What are the opportunities that you have? You know, what are the things that are making you successful in your life? What are the things that are making you successful in your business, or that you see as making your business successful too? And a lot of times those are the things that you might have you might be the only one with the access to.
Right.
And so I see it as more of a ability for someone like yourself or anyone else to really be able to do an inventory of how can I actually provide access to these things?
Mm-hmm.
The access thing part is an interesting concept too, because even if the door is open, there might be, you know, 20 different stumbling blocks ahead of that.
Sure.
That when you're doing kind of this analysis of yourself, you'll find like, oh, I got here because I took such and such an action 3 years ago. I got here because before that I did this. And then you can kind of trace it back to all the things that had to happen to lead you to where you are, you know? So these are things as these are activities that a person can do who has the opportunity, who has the access, not only to say, like, I'm creating this, you know, let's say this investment fund for Black businesses, but I'm also understanding the path to succeed in that investment fund or to achieve that investment fund, which is just a very critical step in actually making the action happen.
And that's why I say, you know, there's no easy button. You can't just subscribe to equity on Amazon and wait for it to show up at your door, right? You've got to go on the journey yourself, right?
Right, right.
And it's that commitment, right? To your point, doing that audit of yourself, which I really love the idea of, like, what are the things that have helped get me to where I'm at? What are the things that are helped keeping me where I'm at? And then how can I find ways to share those opportunities with other folks?
Yeah, and we can't ask people to live each other's lives, right?
Right.
And I think there's sometimes that comes into play where it's like, you're a person who holds certain privilege. If you were not here, then I would be able to have that privilege. Well, the chances are in today's world, the way it is that if Kurt went away, there'd be another white guy who took Kurt's place.
Yeah, right.
Like getting
rid of a line of them out there.
right. So that doesn't quite get to the issue. I think that what the things that Kurt can do are a lot of things that Kurt does, right? I mean, it's like having the conversations, doing the introspection, creating the environment, you know, creating a safe space, you know, some psychological safety in your own environment that you have control over,
which can
really be a fertile ground for non-white innovators to come in and do their best type of work and create the future that they really deserve.
Right. And that's something really important to say, because, I mean, again, I know at Foundry, we take a really serious look at it. And it's from two perspectives. Obviously, there is just the social value, you know, the moral charge with it. But there's also the business value, because it's proven time and time again, a more diverse team builds more innovative products. You just have better, more diverse ideas coming from those more diverse backgrounds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the case. And geez, what a time in the world where we need as much innovation as we can get and high quality innovation as we can get. You know, I think just kind of going back to the pandemic, you know, it's becoming more obvious that we need to get good at doing well where we're at, you know, and that seems like a very tall order. But the idea that things are going to be how they once were is not something you can plan around at all. So innovation is key right now. And I really think it's a good thing that folks are not only figuring out about, like, putting teams together, diverse teams together. That's great. But the other thing we have to do is figure out, how do we actually create diverse teams with a basis of psychological safety within that team, so everybody can perform their best and feel included and feel like, I'm going to create something with this team that I really believe in and I really own.
One of the things that I've found success with is by interacting more with that community, the non-white community in technology, innovation, and design. One of the things that I think I struggled with early in my career was, at, for example, those events or those networking opportunities, I might not have felt invited. But being a business owner and being able to be someone who can come in and sponsor those events has helped me push past that feeling of not being invited, and being able to say, well, I'm sponsoring an event, I better show up. And then pushing me into bigger and longer lasting relationships with folks that don't look like me. So it's kind of a hack in a way for myself, but it really truly worked to kind of get me over myself and my own insecurities, to be able to feel more confident that I do have these opportunities, I do have this network to share, and I have to go out and seek out those people, because it's just the same case in the reverse, right? They don't feel as invited with me.
Yeah. And the word invited is an interesting one. I guess I don't even know if I have a point to make on this, Kurt. It's just sticking out to me as, you know, I've heard this said before about having an invitation in both ways. You know, do you have a seat at the table? Were you invited to the table? Whose table is it? Build a business people, all these things about the table and dealing with an invitation.
Yeah.
And I see, I don't know if that's the right word.
Okay.
When I think about how these networks are formed, folks who you do business with, let's say white folks that you do business with, I don't feel like there was one day where you're like, just sent out an invitation and you're like, come on, let's do this. You know, there's kind of a building that happens. And I think that's one of the weird things that good intentions places people in, is in situations where the building hasn't been done, right? The building of those relationships and the building of the access hasn't been done, right? And I think what you're describing is a way that, you know, you've been able to build access to some of these networks through your sponsorship.
Yeah.
You've been able to build that type of access. Now, wouldn't it be fantastic if I could go out and sponsor something at 3M or something like that, where I would just be able to build access in the same way and get into the white network that way, you know, and do other things like that, you know? And I think that might be part of a solution or a way of you kind of opening up this access, is to finding other ways that you can contribute to building access for non-white innovators and entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think, again, it comes back to when, you know, I grew up, I was a preacher's kid, and my father was building a church. He didn't wait for people to show up. He went to where they were at. And it is the same thing that I took on as a leader in my organization, is I need to go where the people are at that I want to attract to places, instead of waiting for them to come. Because I've worked at other organizations where they put out a job posting, and then out of white people would apply, and then the people at the company would say, you know, why are we putting more focus on diversity? And the response usually was, well, we put out the job posting and this is who applied. So what do you want me to do? Like, I can't do any more than that. And yeah. That always bothered me, because it showed a lack of effort of actually trying to go out and access those networks that we're speaking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think also, that is a good example. I mean, I've heard countless stories, individuals who applied for, you know, entry-level positions and didn't get an entry-level position because they didn't have enough job experience. And it's like, wait, entry-level, isn't it? I thought that's what it said. How am I supposed to have? So when it comes down to it, that's a learned experience, right? That impacts a lot of young Black professionals, for sure. I know, speaking from my own experience and firsthand stories with others, that, you know, those pathways of access that are kind of used as said to be doing enough or doing good enough to provide the access, aren't actually equitable in themselves in the way that they're deployed.
That's my curiosity, right? So I learned that through mistakes. But I really hope to try to help other people realize you don't have to just make a ton of mistakes. There's a good way to go about this, right? And a lot of times it's seeking help deliberately and intentionally from the outside, understanding that you might have an inherent or unconscious bias. You might have set up things in a way that don't feel inclusive to other folks. Like you'd said, doing inventory, taking stock, holding up the mirror, whatever analogy you want to say, and then being able to actually seek help, right? Seek outside guidance from any number of organizations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, as business owners, we're pretty adept at doing this in most areas. You know, and I think there's a great opportunity to leverage that kind of tenacity, you know, that innovative spirit, problem-solving spirit here, and taking ownership of the problem that you're defining for yourself, right? I have 4 developer positions. 90% of the resumes are from white males that come in. I'm going to own that problem, and, you know, I'm going to go past being curious. I'm going to treat this like I do any other problems in my business. I'm going to figure out where it's coming from, and I'm going to resolve it, you know, to the best of my ability. And what do we do when we look at problems? I mean, there isn't, I would be surprised at the last time you found a problem in your business and you didn't talk to somebody more knowledgeable than yourself about it? I mean, that's usually we have co-founders, we have partners, we have mentors, we have all these resources that we reach out to when we're facing something that we may have not faced before or faced before and been unsuccessful in resolving, but knowing that we're going to own it this time and we're going to make sure we get it right.
Right. And that's the thing, is like, that's why it's so important as that business owner, is that if everybody in your network looks like you, you're not going to have somebody to reach out to talk to about this specific thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the earliest things you learn about running a business is having that diversity of thought. Leveraging your network is super important, but also it's balancing all of your resources and knowing how to balance those. And it's important to know when you're out of balance, right? And we can't look past our network and just look at other things within our business. Our network has to be balanced as well.
Yeah, and that's why the next thing I wanted to talk to you about is those resources for building that network. I mean, I see, especially this year more than ever, I mean, there's lists of Black-owned businesses, there's tools out there that can help you find and understand where Black businesses are and where you can support them and how you can make that more of a priority in either the way you do business or even just the way you run your household or where you order food from or whatever the case may be. I mean, what's your thoughts on that, putting a shot or spotlight more on calling out those businesses specifically for individuals? Do you think that's a positive thing?
Yeah, I think it is positive. I think it doesn't come without some risk involved, but you know, but I'll just talk about the positive.
Okay.
To start. I mean, first is a lot of people just don't know. So it's good, you know, I'll say a lot of business owners don't know about who they can be partnering with. A lot of business owners don't know about where they can go to find employees, vendors and things of that nature. It's just like, it's good that there is more publicity around the great, you know, non-white businesses that exist in the world and a kind of a welcoming them into the ecosystem that is like the majority of the economy of the country. Mm-hmm. That's a super positive thing. So that should obviously keep going. And I think it also shows a lot of commitment on the part of the business community to actually say that we're going to do something we know how to do to make a change here, right? Like we know how to create a list of Black-owned businesses and call them up and see if we can do work with them. Like, I guess I'd be interested to know how well that's working for not only the folks who are trying to make a change, but who are, you know, businesses, Black-owned businesses or non-white businesses looking for new business as well. I think that they're also kind of gets held up. This kind of builds an environment which, you know, where the idea of failing fast doesn't quite translate for like non-white businesses as well. So like if you were to have a bad experience going to this one place, you might kind of cast that whole place with that experience, which I think is not the fault of anybody on that list, but it's kind of a fault of the type of scenario that we built by creating those lists. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I guess that's the only thing that causes me some pause with them. But I think overall, it's a step that we have to go through as a business community to kind of get to that next level of just having total inclusivity and not a need for a list like that anymore, because our marketing pathways are open, our advertising is open, all those sorts of things, access to capital. These things have been opened up. We don't need the list anymore, but that's not where we are right now.
Right. And that's the thing. There's no magic bullet. Otherwise, it probably would have been used by now. So I look at these types of things as just like you were explaining, Jonathan, as a series of steps, a journey, right? Milestones to look back and say, did that have impact? Okay, how can we expand upon that? And looking at it as a much more iterative approach instead of just wandering around in the wilderness trying to find some way to just hit it with a hammer and be done.
Yeah, and that's a super good analogy, right? Because I feel like sometimes what we hear sounds like wandering. It sounds like it would look like wandering, I guess is what you might say. But it sounds as if wandering, but it also is like, I'm on a journey. Oh, I found out I'm going the wrong way. I'm going this way now. Right. That's less wandering and very intentional and trying to find things that work and to find the best path. That's some of what needs to happen. I mean, like you said, there is no magic bullet. And I think that it would be a shame if there actually were, because that would not be something that would be innovative. That would be more declarative and saying this is the way that it has to be done,
right.
Which, as we know, that's rarely ever. I don't think that's ever worked.
Right. Well, and that's why I say that I think it's easier for people to start to make true change bit by bit, instead of just all of a sudden waking up the next day and saying, well, I'm doing everything differently now. Mm-hmm. And it's like a diet, right? It's like, I'm not going to stick to that. Making those small iterative changes, like you were saying, adding more diversity to your network, you know, spending your money in a more diverse way, making your investments in a more diverse way, being able to just go in and take small steps and start moving the needle is what I've found. Because again, as a person who is trying to make a difference that way, it can become overwhelming. And it's not like I'm sitting here at the woke spa, like yelling at other white people to be more diverse. I'm working on it. Yeah. And I think building a network with people like yourself in it, Jonathan, have been extremely valuable to me on my journey. So I can't stress enough to people to build that diversity in their network and build true relationship with those folks, because that's how you're going to learn, and that's how you're going to grow.
Mm-hmm. And there is so much to connect on. I think when it's never too late to develop a new relationship, it's never too late to add someone
right.
to your network.
Right.
It's never too late to get somebody out of your network either. It's like, this is your life. This is, you know, your world that you're living in, and you're responsible for it. And so I think one of the questions that has to be asked is this the type of life that I want to be living? You know, when it comes down to it, when I look around, is this the network that I'm going to look back and say that this is the network I should have had?
This is success.
Yeah. And it's an opportunity. This is an opportunity to ask yourself that question and then to change things up if you need to. I don't think anybody would be upset if it was like, hey, you know, we've got a lot of things in common. We might be able to do business together. I've never talked to you before, but let's get together and talk about a couple things and see where it goes. You know, I don't think that's going to be an insult, for one. You know, people are busy. They may not have time for it.
Sure.
But it's a gesture that can be made and could make a difference for folks trying to establish some more diversity in their network.
Yeah, and I want to dive into that just a little bit more. And I think I've told you this story too, I think, Jonathan, in the past. But what's been interesting is, like, as I built the podcast years ago, when I first started it, you know, I reached out to people that I had worked with. And it was really easy to do that because I knew them. I knew what they might want to talk about. It was pretty easy. And I realized very quickly after a few episodes, like, oh, it's a lot of white folks. And I wanted to grow and I wanted to learn more from other folks. And so I started reaching out to a more diverse audience, and I got crickets back. I got no responses or very limited responses. And then what I realized is over time is that if I had gotten an introduction into that network from somebody else, then people were much more open and interested to talk to me. Because again, I look back and I think of, well, maybe it's just my privilege that I was thinking, like, well, of course these people would want to talk to me. Why wouldn't they? I'm doing a show. It's great. But what I realized was when you have lived a life of being taken advantage of, your defenses are up in different ways. And so without that introduction, I wouldn't have been able to expand that network and get those folks on the show. Yeah. What's your thoughts around that? Again, back to my story, my journey.
Well, it's great. I always like to hear more about your experiences and what you've tried and the way it went, right? I mean, I think it's just valuable to share and to know. And also, it just kind of underscores your continued kind of dedication to making a change, not only for yourself, but for others. You know, I kind of go back to empathy to consider here, I think, and dedication, really, empathy and dedication towards making it towards making the change. I think both of those things have to go together.
Okay.
You know, how would you like to be approached? And how would you like to feel when you're approached to do some sort of action, be on someone's podcast or whatever it might be, right?
Right.
Podcasts are great, right? I mean, you know, it's a good thing to be on, but there's no reason to assume that people don't already have a 100 podcasts they can be on if they're invited to be there, right? I mean, so that might not be enough to pull someone in, right? I mean, for you, you've got a busy schedule. I'm sure you'll want to know what's in it for you, or are you my friend, or why would I be doing this? So I think, you know, that empathetic approach is super important. And I think what I find is that often that first kind of step, that first olive branch is kind of me. That's kind of like what's in it for me. And like when that olive branch doesn't work, then it's kind of like, wait a second, I have to think about what's in it for the other person and make this about them. And sometimes when you do that, you'll find that to make that invitation meaningful, there's a lot in it that has to go along with it, right? There might be different, you know, barriers that that person's facing to actually be able to go on the podcast. I mean, for one thing, I know that a lot of times people have different levels of being comfortable when it comes towards doing things outside of their 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
Right. And so that might be something that's a barrier to someone, but there's just countless others that could be barriers that when you take on that lens of empathy, you start to unravel what else needs to be within that invitation for it to land.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great point, Jonathan. I think obviously being as transparent and honest in that invitation is super important right up front, right? You know, just put all the cards out there. And again, it's the same thing with what you had mentioned about expanding your network and connecting with those folks. It's okay to just express and say, you know, this is what I need to do. I mean, I was recently contacted by a non-white business owner, and he just said, I don't have enough white men in my network and I need more. So would you like to chat? I was like, cool. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Try it out.
But yeah, that's my point, though, is that you had mentioned the olive branch. I mean, it's got to start somewhere. It doesn't just fall off the tree and land in your hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it is. Yeah. Here's what I want to do. Okay, now let's figure out what you want to do as well. And that's really important. I love that example. I think more people should try doing that. Your phone's going to be ringing off the hook here pretty soon. Really.
I don't mind. Yeah. And again, that's why I've made the podcast and this YouTube show and these things. This is, you can watch me live growing and learning, hopefully take something away from it as you're watching it. Well, Jonathan, you know, we're going on. I could talk to you for days, but tell me about next. How can I work with you? When should I call next? What type of problems do you solve? I want to hear a little bit more about the work you do.
Oh, well, thanks, Kurt. Yeah, this has been a really enjoyable conversation for me. And you know, usually, as always, I've learned a lot from you during this conversation, too. So I appreciate that. And I look forward to many others in the future.
Me too.
Thanks for letting me talk a little bit about Next, too. Well, you know, it's been a really, what can I say, challenging but rewarding year working with Next. We've been around since 2018. The website is www.nxt.co. You can find us at nxt.co on Instagram, Facebook, and if you look at NCXT on LinkedIn, you'll find us there. That's and awesome. The nxt.co on Twitter as well. So that's just some stuff about how to contact us. But yeah, so
when should I call you?
Yeah, you should definitely call us if you're facing, you know, any type of business issues where you're basically having to deal with stagnation or you can't move past a point in your process or strategy for your business. I mean, that's where we can come in and help. So what we do is we break down our work into three different areas. So first we do research to really understand the problem, understand the people involved, and understand the opportunities that are involved. And then we do strategy to help look at your organization, you know, look at your customer experience, technological variables and help create a strategy there. And the last thing we do is implementation. And so we can, you know, really put into practice the things that were in strategy and help kind of put a team together and start getting the work done, roll up our sleeves and get it done. And a lot of times we work with implementation partners in that phase too, but we stay engaged by doing something we call stewardship. Is so to make sure that you get everything promise from the strategy, we like to stay around and keep consulting with a business leader to make sure that we do what we intended to do in the first place. Yeah, so there's just been this year it's been good. We've been able to do a lot of work with the city of St. Paul, working mm-hmm. with their restaurants there, helping them overcome challenges from COVID pandemic and also from the uprising as well. So that's been some really exciting work. We're launching some work with some national work, actually, with the chief officers of state libraries, which is really fun work to get into a complex organization and work with leaders there. So there's lots of different ways that we engage around research, strategy, and implementation.
Awesome. Yeah, no, and I can't speak enough for the work you do. It's great. I definitely recommend people check it out, even if it's just you don't know what problems you might have. You know, Jonathan and his team are great at uncovering things that you might not even know were an issue. So they can help you out a lot. Well, Jonathan, thanks again. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you again so much for your continued support and friendship.
Thanks, Kurt. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to Schmidt List. If you like this episode, you'll love our new YouTube channel. Just head to YouTube and search for Schmidt List and subscribe. We'll be doing live interviews and career coaching weekly, so I'd love to see you there. If you're interested in how my company Foundry accelerates innovation, head to foundrymakes.com to check out all the work produced by our amazing team of strategists, designers, and engineers for companies of all sizes. And one last thing, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes, as it helps other fantastic people like yourself find the show. Have a great week, everyone.